This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Levi Ubelt, thank you so much. Welcome to Sports Saturday. What a big day for high school football teams across the state as playoff tickets will be officially solidified tonight. We'll have the road to the Cal that'll come your way at 8 o'clock this evening on WSMI FM 106 as we will get the playoff pairings as they are announced and then talk to our playoff bound coaches coming up tonight on the road to DeKalb. And last night, North Mac, Greenville, and Southwestern all picked up all important win number 5. And as of now, they will be in postseason play. As we sit here this morning, 181 teams have clinched. So there's 75 spots left to go. Now, not all the games from last night have been reported, but as of now, the cutoff is Blue Island Eisenhower. Beardstown just in at the moment. Tuscola just in at the moment. But big wins last night for Southwestern, North Mac, and Greenville to get win number 5 and get their tickets punched into the postseason. There was no doubt last night between Carlinville and Pena. Obviously, both these teams squarely in the playoffs year after year, but the South Central Conference Championship game was played last night in Carlinville, and what a ball game as Pena survived and beat Carlinville 27-13. And joining us on the phone right now is Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday. And Chad, I know you're on the wrong end of it, but that was a high-level, fantastic high school football game.
Yeah, I don't have much voice left this morning, that's for sure. So, yeah, you know, it was, I think over the years we've always talked about the scheduling and how it works out. Some teams are fortunate enough, and we are one, that we had a playoff atmosphere before we got to the playoffs, and it just happened to be week 9, and it was a great ball game. Hats off to Painter. They have a great, great football team, and they're well coached, so.
And Chad, not only a playoff atmosphere, that to me, it felt like a quarterfinal game. To me.
Yeah, it had some hype to it. I mean, obviously, if you follow these kids in Pena, they've been a tight-knit group for a long years. And, I always hear the phrase, it's their year. And it has been. So, I think there was a lot of people there last night. I don't really know, to be honest with you. But I heard a lot of screaming and yelling, that's for sure.
It was a packed house for sure. And, the high-flying Pena offense, Chad, we talked last Saturday, and I thought for the most part you did a good job of what you wanted to do, contain Max Lynch and get him on the ground. For the most part, you did a good job there.
I tell you what, we did for three quarters and had about 10 plays, mm-hmm. I think, as we looked over the film, that, either mental breakdowns or tough breaks or however you want to say it, and didn't get the job done, had a few penalties that cost us in the end, and if there's a positive, you would rather do that week 9 than week 10, because then we can fix those things next week. So,
guys were up 13-12, had Pena pinned back on the 1-yard line, Chad, and they go 99 yards for a touchdown. Just kind of take us through that sequence, obviously game-changing.
Yeah, I think that was huge momentum in the swing of the game, obviously. We had them pinned deep, and we stopped them on first down, and then kind of had a line stunt issue going on there, and then didn't do a great job tackling there on the edge, and they got that first down, and then all of a sudden, pop, pop, two plays later, they took it into the end zone, and that took the wind out of our sails a little bit. So we went 3-and-out on the next series, had to punt, held them, but they ate up a lot of the clock, and then obviously put us with our backs against the wall, and against a great football team like that, we obviously didn't get the job done there on the offensive side, and then gave up one more there late.
And I was surprised, what a gutsy play call by Trevor Higgins, to pitch wide left in the end zone on that third down play to Hinch, and that was a gutsy, gutsy play call.
Yeah, we had done some different things to them in the first half, I think, that they hadn't seen before, and they were kind of reeling a little bit, so that was a great call at a great time, and, my hat's off to them. Like I said, they've done a great job all year of coaching those kids, and hopefully they can make a deep run and represent the conference in 2A, because more teams that do in the South Central, the better off it is.
And, last night you guys got out to that 6-0 lead, then recovered the onside kick. And that was another one of those early momentum swings, Chad, 3-and-out after recovering the onside.
Well, Tim, we've talked about that. You know, I mean, obviously we don't mind taking chances, you know, on offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, against a great team like them, you need a player. You need something to help keep them off their guard. And I thought Mason Duckles did a heck of a job with a great kick and just tough to handle. And, you know, we got it. So, you know, coming out of the half, I just was a little – we didn't have that same energy we did in the first two quarters there to start the third quarter, and then we got it back. But by the time we got it back, it was a little too late. So.
Well, Chad, obviously you know you're going to the postseason, and last night's game, there's not many times I have seen to where the Carletonville receivers are having trouble getting past their defenders, but you talked about the speed of Pena, and boy, it was really on display last night. They did a great job in their secondary getting you guys covered up.
Yeah, we've talked over the years, Tim. Speed's a wonderful thing. I don't care where it's at on the field, and if you got a lot of it, it's even better.
Yes.
So, you know, I thought they did a great job covering. They switched up some coverages on us, stuff like that. So, you know, we got the job done early and then couldn't sustain it was the problem. So, you know, once again, hats off to Pena.
And, Chad, this is always your favorite day of the year because you get to talk to me twice.
You know, that is correct, because I'm dying for the next question. I've had the same one from you, and I've been patiently waiting for it. So go ahead. If you're going to ask me who I'm going to play, I'm going to tell you I ain't got a clue.
No, I have learned my lessons there, Chad. I know that you're not going to get into that. I'm going to ask you, what will you and your team do tonight during the reveal?
We've done some many different things over the years, and now that it's all live-streamed and it's a TV deal, mm-hmm. I can't say enough, and this is probably not the appropriate show to say this on, but the Carletonville parent community type things put on great things and that sort of stuff. So over the last couple of years, they've hosted like a party for the kids and that sort of stuff. So it's all live streamed on a big screen TV, and our parent support staff does a great job with all of that. So it's kind of relieved me of having to do that duty a little bit. So I enjoy my 5 o'clock wait for the 256 to come out. And then I may sneak a peek at it. I have several on my staff that love to do that. So I always sit and we text back and forth, and then we just wait for 8:12 to come around. And then, obviously, then that whole case scenario starts of trading films and who do you contact. And obviously with the cell phone era and video technology the way it is, no one's getting in a car anymore and driving anywhere. It's about three text messages and boom, boom, boom. And by 9 o'clock, 9:30, we got film and we're ready to roll.
Sounds great. Chad, we'll talk to you tonight.
All right, thanks a lot, Tim.
Right, that's Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers, as they finished the regular season at 7-2, losses to Vandalia and Pena, and what, I think 9 turnovers in the 2 losses for Carletonville, 5 interceptions last night as Pena got the win 27-13. Hillsboro beat Litchfield last night 48-6, the Toppers in the season on a 4-game win streak. Greenville picked up a win over Vandalia 42-21. It was Southwestern beating Gillespie 48-24, and Staunton topped Carlisle last night 19-6. In the Sangamo Conference, it was Athens over North Mac, 39-34. Auburn beat Porta 42-0. Williamsville beat Pittsfield 44-16. Marrora Forsyth topped Riverton 70-42. And New Berlin beat Pleasant Plains 32-24 last night. Non-conference play, it was Nokomis beating Dupo. That final last night, 47-0. So Nokomis finishes the regular year at 7-2. And it'll be very interesting to see what type of draw and which direction Nokomis will have. They're always kind of on that line. You never know where Nokomis is going to wind up in any postseason year to year. So we'll know it all tonight. Road to the Cowb, 8 o'clock here on WQSMI FM 106 as football postseason gets set to kick off. The soccer postseason is well underway. And last Saturday, a week ago, the Carletonville Cavaliers won the regional championship, beating Lincolnwood, and then bowed out in the sectional to a tough Beardstown team earlier in the week. And their head coach, Tim Johnson, joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, doing good. And Beardstown must have one heck of a defense if they limited your squad to one shot.
Yeah, they do. They're a great team. They were a great team to play against. I would say, you know, their work rate is so extreme that, you know, at times you thought there was 15 or 16 guys out there, not 11, because they were everywhere.
Just talk about your team this year, because I think a lot of your opponents, when they played you this year, probably had sort of the same feeling. Like, is there four Udinskys and Parks out there? What's going on?
Right, right. You know, Triton and Levi are special players. You know, they're one of a kind, times two type thing. Mm-hmm. Triton made it through our year scoring 31 goals, which ties our single season goals record. And Levi's right behind him with 27 goals. And they both have a baker's dozen assists to go on top of that. I'm sure they're frustrating to play against. They're fun to have, that's for sure. And they've got, 15 other guys on their team who really increase their level of play as well. So it's good to have guys around them that are talented, and then it's good to have, a couple of special pieces like Triton and Levi made for a great year.
You guys had just a special year. I think you finished, 18-3 on the year and the regional championship. And coming into the year, Tim, when you have expectations, sometimes it's hard to deliver on those expectations. You guys certainly did.
Yeah, I think so. And the expectations were very high for us, from our players to our coaching staff and our parents and everyone who watches us play. I think the expectations were high coming off of the spring. And I think probably one of the hardest things is to, because you're going to get there. You're going to have the great games. You're going to be playing well. You're going to have periods of time where everything's clicking. But maintaining it is the tough task, trying to maintain that over the course of a full season, or even in this case, they had a great spring, and we feel like the season didn't really stop. So, we had to maintain this level of play for about 7 months, and the guys were the biggest piece to that. They worked hard, they stayed the course, and they did well.
What a mental grind it had to be, as you mentioned. Basically, they played soccer for 7 straight months. Physically, mentally, that could be exhausting.
Yeah. And these guys are invested. There's periods where you got to take a mental break or take a day off. Luckily for these guys, and like every high school athlete, they're young. They bounce back mentally and physically pretty quick. It's us coaches who get a little beat down a little bit at times, but these players make it easy to want to be at practice and want to be at games and want to watch film. It's great. It's been great.
Tim, when you look back and think about this Carletonville soccer squad, what are you going to remember?
The first thing I would think about is I remember where they came from. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, when Triton and Levi were freshmen, we had a very good year and a very good crop of seniors. Matt Schmidt, who now shares that goals record with Triton, and 12 other seniors that season, really shaped how Triton and Levi had their 4 years. They watched those guys lead 4 years ago, and they did the same thing this year. And to piggyback on that, the Triton and Levi's career ended on Tuesday, and that's a tough moment for a high school kid, especially somebody who plays with so much passion as those two. And they stick around after the game, and they're trying to shape the future of our program. They're taking pictures with some of the younger kids who were there and high-fiving people and stuff like that. It's a selfless attitude that they have. And we really appreciate them. They put a lot into the program, and they're going to continue to be a big part of the program moving forward, too.
Well, that's exactly how you build a foundation of a program, isn't it? So, Tim, I'm just curious. You talked about the structure and the leadership that Levi and Triton got. So who are the kids that have been looking up to Levi and Triton here over the last few years that will now take the Carletonville torch?
Well, I don't think I could name one or two this time. I think we've got a half dozen of them.
Ooh.
And we've got a good crop of juniors who are now, I guess we call them seniors, with Ian Bethard and Matt Dunn and Brody Harris and Asher Barbary are all defenders for us. They'll all be seniors next year. Tyler Summers will be up there as well. Peyton Brown, who's kind of been the third piece to our offense. He's a sophomore right now. You know, he's going to have a little bit more weight on his shoulders on the offensive end. And obviously we've got Will Meyer in goal, who is just going to continue to get better and better and better.
And there's going to be – the guys in the next team next year are going to think, boy, there's a lot of shots to be had out here.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's some open spots on the field, and we've got some good internal competition amongst our younger guys and older guys. You know, iron sharpens iron, so good practices make good games.
Of course, then before you get to next soccer season for the boys, you'll have girls' soccer coming up in the spring. Just a quick outlook there on your girls' squad.
Yeah, numbers are way up. We're young. We're resetting. We're, you know, kind of like the boys. We don't have to rebuild. We're just kind of reloading on the boys and girls side. And the girls, I think we're going to be in the 30s in terms of numbers, and we're going to have a lot of youth and a lot of drive, and we'll get started some of that training, some of those open plays here pretty soon. It'll be here before we know it.
You sure will be, and it's going to be a lot of fun as well. Tim Johnson, congratulations on the regional championship this year, and you got the soccer program at Carlinville headed in the right direction.
Hey, I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you.
That's Tim Johnson, the head coach of Carlinville Boys and Girls Soccer, joining us here on Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we will talk with Hillsboro football coach Joe Reed and Litchfield football coach Dan Carlson when Sports Saturday rolls on. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, the road to the Cowb coming up tonight, 8 o'clock on WSMI FM 106.1, as we will be talking to our playoff-bound coaches. We'll talk with Carlinville's Chad Easterday, Nokomis's Paul Watson. Going to talk with Pena's Trevor Higgins, Jason Clay of Vandalia, Williamsville's Aaron Kuhn, Southwestern's Pat Keith will be joining us on the program as well, and we should be able to make contact with North Mac coach Pat Bowman as well. The road to the Cowb tonight, 8 o'clock on WSMI FM 106.1. And as of now, there are 75 spots open. And, of course, the speculation here has been over the last couple of weeks that, you know, a number of 4 and 5 teams could wind up making the postseason. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Hillsboro is in that grouping at 4 and 5. What a finish for Hillsboro. Lost their first 5, won their last 4. And when you think about Hillsboro, something changed in that Vandalia game. Played the Vandals extremely tough, heartbreaking loss to Paris. And since that time, they've been rolling people. And joining us on the phone right now is their head coach, Joe Reed. And, Joe, I hope that we're talking again tonight on the road to the Cowb. Do you have any inside information, an inkling of how it's going to pan out for you?
There wouldn't be anything better than that. But, no, I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I wish I did.
It's going to be one long day for you then, isn't it?
It's going to be a long day, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, again, praying to the football gods, something good happens. But, you know, I have no idea with how scores went last night. And, you know, like I said, we're just hoping that we get a chance.
And, Joe, who would have thought, though, after that tough loss to Paris, sitting in 0-5, that you would even be in this position? What a credit to your kids and your staff.
You know, it would have been easy to, you know, to kind of pack it in after that game. But, you know, I thought the leadership from our seniors and just our team in general and, you know, our coaching staff really stuck to it. And, you know, that's how we end up where we are, and at least we have a shot.
And you guys got to the point where you were imposing your will on people on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I thought, you know, some things just take a little bit of time and just to kind of figure out, number one, our system and what we're looking for on both on offense and defense. I thought my our defense really made some adjustments, and my brother did a great job of putting guys in good positions to make plays. And that was a big thing. Once our defense got going, I feel like we kind of fed off that, and, you know, good things happen.
The confidence level of your team had to just be sky high entering last night's rivalry game with Litchfield.
I just, I said this last week, I just feel like we're a dangerous team, and you know, our kids are confident with what they're doing now, and you know, that makes such a big difference when not only you know what you're doing, but you know why you're doing things, and you know, I think that's kind of where we're at right now, and it just, you know, coulda, woulda, shouldas, and you know, it's pretty easy. We should just win one more game.
Yeah, that's all you have to do, Joe. Just win one more.
Yeah, it sounds so easy, but you know, this is a tough conference with a lot of good coaches, and you know, unfortunately, that's kind of where we're sitting right now. It's not in our hands, and you know, that's unfortunate. But you know, like I said, I feel like we're dangerous, and we're just hoping for one more week, one more opportunity.
Well, and Joe, to that point, you don't have a loss to a team that's not going to the playoffs.
You know, I never really looked at it that way. And yeah, that's pretty crazy, honestly. You know, like I said, I just feel like we're dangerous, and I just feel like we're playing well, and man, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that. But, you know, when you say it that way, that's, you know, I just think that's kind of indicative of what kind of team we are. But, you know, I also think, like, it just took a little bit of time, you know, and we're playing better now, and you know, I wish you could go back, but you can't.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Joe, regardless of how it turns out tonight, you have got something established. Whatever foundational blocks you wanted to get in place this year, they're there now.
Yeah. If you would have asked me in June, you know, I had no clue, you know, what I was getting into. But, you know, we had a group of seniors that, you know, worked extremely hard and bought in immediately, and you know, they kind of laid the groundwork for where we're going from here. And I couldn't be happier. I thought our JV had a great season, and I think everyone's just kind of falling into place and with what we're trying to do. And you know, we've got to have a good off season, and hopefully we can make this into something great.
Sounds fantastic. But hopefully your off season doesn't start for a little while, Joe. Hopefully.
I really hope. I really hope we get an opportunity.
So all right. Well, hey, try to stay right calm now. Today. Try to stay relaxed. You know, take a
it's
long walk.
Be difficult. Yeah.
Just find something to do to, I guess, pass the time. Joe, we have always appreciated your time here on Saturday mornings, and I hope we're talking again tonight.
Hey, appreciate it, Tim. Thank you very much.
All right, that is Joe Reed, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, yeah, it will be a long day in Toppertown as they wait to see if they get in at 4-5. And, you know, a lot of times you can tell this morning, you can kind of do the math and look around, but it's not working out that way this morning. So still really no feel for how many 4-5 teams here are going to work their way into the field of 256. Of course, the road to DeKalb tonight, 8 o'clock, playoff pairings revealed, and then we will talk to our playoff-bound coaches. The road to DeKalb tonight, 8 o'clock on WSMI FM 106. Some other scores from Week 9 last night. In the Central, State 8, Rochester beat Normal U High 47-0. SHG over Glenwood 58-13. Jacksonville beat MacArthur in a 4-4 battle, 23-20 the final for Jacksonville. Springfield High beat Southeast 59-14, and Eisenhower topped Lanphier 18-7. WIVC last night saw Carrollton over Brown County 50-14. Camp Point Central beat Calhoun 56-21, and Minden Unity over West Central 32-29. Eight-man football last night, Pawnee over Bushnell Prairie Central by the final of 53-12. Well, the Litchfield Purple Panthers got back on the football field this fall after taking the spring off, and their head coach Dan Carlson joins us on Sports Saturday this morning. And Dan, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Always appreciate you guys having me on.
So we know 0-9, but this season for Litchfield was never about the record, Dan. The record was never really something I thought about with Litchfield. It was about getting better each and every day. So as you kind of sit back here, season's only been over for a few hours, how do you assess the Litchfield football season?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things is as you said, you know, we weren't looking at the wins and loss record for growth and progress. I mean, obviously, you know, we had really hoped to get the seniors a win, you know, but you're asking them to do one of the hardest things in the world, and that's win a football game.
Yeah.
You know, all the teams that we play in this conference are well coached and really good teams. You know, you see that in our playoff appearances and playoff runs that this conference makes year in and year out. And, you know, we're a young team. You know, we ended up with, you know, we had five seniors and three juniors, which is tough to compete with when you're going up against teams that, you know, have 15, 14 seniors on their team and, you know, have three extra years of strength and conditioning, three extra years of coaching and understanding the program and the way in which things are done. I think that one of our goals this year was to ensure that we kept a healthy roster, which we got a little banged up throughout the year, but everybody came back and we really retained our roster, which was our biggest goal for this year. And then next year, you know, hats off to Cody Yonker and Ron Anglin and what they're doing at our JFL level. Right now we're projected at 23 players for next year, which will bring our roster size into the mid-40s. And that's really going to help develop the program from the ground up. And so, you know, those guys down there at the JFL level, they're instilling that love of the game and teaching them the fundamentals so that we can hit the ground running when they get up to us.
And that's always kind of the football secret to success, isn't it? The JFL games, because the programs that get it done on Friday night, they've started it at the JFL level.
There's no doubt about that. You know, I think that, you know, you can go back and look at any of the good programs. You know, where I came from, we had a great JFL program in Troy. But, you know, you look at Carlinville and you look at Rochester and Chatham-Glenwood and just the support and the understanding and fundamentals of the game at that level. It's just that's really, like you said, where it all begins there. And it allows the high school staff to get down into the nitty-gritty, into the advanced levels. Instead of teaching these kids to crawl and walk, they're already teaching them to run and sprint.
Yeah, that is a huge, huge difference. And you mentioned really only eight upperclassmen on the roster this year. And, Dan, just talk about those upperclassmen, because, my goodness, those eight kids, they stuck through some rough, rough patches for you guys.
There's no doubt about that. You know, hats off to players. You know, a particular one is Drew Hartzell. You know, just the heart of a warrior there. You know, he was a battering ram for us day in, day out. He's a kid that never took a play off. And, you know, if he was in a different program, would be getting a bunch of different reviews and looks at him. But, you know, he sacrificed last year by giving up his a varsity season, his junior year, to help rebuild the program. Keaton Case was another one of those individuals who just came out, did everything that we ever asked him to do. We moved him around. We put him at line. We put him at running back. And, you know, he never complained. He never said, no, I'm not going to do that. He never gave up. He just kept doing everything that we asked him to do. Louis Volentine was another one. You know, those are all three-year guys who stuck through with the program through thick and thin. And, you know, I know we didn't get them a win this year, but moving forward, they're going to be able to look back on this year and say, hey, we laid the foundation for that. Our sacrifices laid the foundation for that. And, you know, they're going to come back and see winning football at Litchfield, and they're going to know that they were the ones who built that there.
And I'm talking with Dan Carlson, head football coach at Litchfield. And, Dan, we're talking about just the toughness of the league. And when you're down on the mat like you guys have been, it is hard to get up. It's going to take time. So I guess my question would be, mentally, how did your kids handle that grind this year, week in and week out?
You know, one of the things that we did, and honestly right now I'm at practice, you know, everybody's like, you have practice on Saturday after your last game? Our kids asked for it. Our kids wanted one last practice together. Our kids wanted to come together, to be together for one last time, to honor the seniors, to do our normal things that we do. And that's building that tradition, and that's building that program through there. They know what we're building for. They understand. They know that, hey, I've got, you know, most of them, those sophomores, you know, class of 13 that we have there, they understand they've got two more years, and they're working on their fundamentals. They're working on developing who they are as players and their own specific roles and how they fit into the puzzle in and of itself. And so they understand where we were at, and you just got to take it day by day with them. And you know, really hats off to them and everything that they've done. They've been great. You know, obviously we've had some tough times. You know, getting up and going, it's tough in this conference. You know, you have a closed conference, which is one of the hardest things to do because you have no control over your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of at the mercy of it. I don't get to plan the games, and a lot of, I know that there's a lot of consternation and debate back and forth between closed conference and open conference, but you know, in an open conference, you can schedule around what kind of a team you have. If you've got a great team, why don't you schedule some harder opponents and really test yourself before you get into conference? Versus us, it's, you know, can I find some other low teams that will have a competitive game and get some confidence built up? You know, even if it's a loss, it's a close loss. It shows you can play football. I mean, for us, we didn't get that. We didn't get that opportunity to schedule the teams that would help us grow. We're kind of just at the mercy of what the schedulers give us. And, you know, but we just worked through that. Yep. You know, you worked through that. You know, we had a grind. You know, hats off to the top three teams in the conference in Vandalia and Carlinville and Payne. We played them back to back to back, and that's tough. But, you know, every team in this conference is tough, and every team is well coached, and they're disciplined. And, you know, it's one of the best small mid-sized conferences in the state and probably in the region. If you were to go compare us to anybody else, so.
Yeah, it's high level, and we always call it the gauntlet. When you get those teams all in a row, it just becomes a brutal type of grind. So, Dan, where do you need to see, or what is the improvement, I guess, in a couple of important areas in terms of the off season leading in to next year? Where's the biggest improvement need to come?
For us, it's just growing physically. You know, getting bigger and stronger. There's a massive difference, and one of the reasons why we took off last year is just the pure difference in the maturity, the physical maturity rate of a 14-year-old kid versus an 18-year-old young man.
Yeah.
And that's really one of the biggest things. But you know, to be honest with you, we have that established, and we have a phenomenal strength and conditioning coach and Connor White. One of the biggest aspects that we have here at Litchfield is we have one of the best, youngest strength and conditioning coaches around, in my personal opinion. And he's got coach, Mark Elvers there, help guide him. And we're going to get bigger, we're going to get faster, and we're going to get stronger under those two's, guidance and leadership. And that's really where we need to go. If you watch any of our games or saw anything, it was just, we're young and we got out muscle. We just got beat physically. You know, and when you're getting beat physically, it takes a toll on your confidence. When you know that you can go up and lay a hit on somebody, you're going to play faster, you're going to play more confidently. And that's really the biggest thing for us right now. In developing that, you know, we're going to sit down over the next week, set goals for our guys, what we expect of them. You know, they're all going to go wrestle. All of our linemen right now are going to wrestle. I think that's a key thing. We're pushing all of our guys to play basketball and do track and do all these other sports to help work those muscles and develop skills that are hard to develop and teach in a weight room situation. So, you know, we just want them to be well-rounded athletes and fresh and excited for when football comes around. We just don't want them to get burnt out. And so that's where we're at right now.
Sounds good. I know there's brighter days ahead here, Dan. The right people are in place, and the tide is going to turn at Litchfield. And obviously, if you knew when that tide was going to turn, that would be fantastic. But you guys just keep your heads down and keep on plowing forward.
That's for sure. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Dan Carlson, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, as they got back on the gridiron this fall after taking the spring off. And, yeah, you heard Dan Carlson talking about it. In this league, the South Central, when you get down to the level that Litchfield got, it is hard to get off the mat. When you look, oh, there's Carlinville. Oh, we got Payne tonight. Oh, Vandalia. Oh, wait, here comes Greenville. It's just tough. But you heard the numbers are going up, and that's where it has to start at small public high schools. You know, you got to have the numbers. And if the JFL is rolling and feeding the high school program, good things will eventually happen. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Hillsboro boys soccer coach Jason Burke about their regional championship last week. Also going to catch up with Paul Watson, Nokomis football coach. They are obviously playoff bound, and we will find out all about that tonight on the road to DeKalb. Take a break. Sports Saturday back in a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Coming up tonight, the road to DeKalb, our playoff pairings preview show. As soon as the pairings are revealed, we will talk to our playoff bound coaches. And slated to appear tonight, Chad Easterday with Carlinville, Paul Watson of Nokomis, NorthMAC's Patrick Bowman, Southwestern's Pat Keith, Pena's Trevor Higgins, Vandalia's Jason Clay, and Williamsville's Aaron Koontz, all set to join us tonight. On the road to the Cal, the playoff pairing show, and there's nothing like this day. I always think making the football playoffs, to me, just my opinion, is like winning a regional in any other sport. You know, when you have to qualify to get in, making the playoffs is a monstrous deal. And I've always thought if you make the football playoffs, that's the equivalent of winning a regional championship in any other sport. Speaking of winning regional championships, Hillsboro soccer coach Jason Burke joins us on the show right now. Good morning, Berkey. How you doing?
Morning, Tim. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, doing fantastic. And obviously, a week ago, you had some fun.
Yeah, we did. We sure did. We got the chance to play for a title, and we took Karen Newton, and we had a lot of fun with it. So we got by the narrowest of margins, 1-0, but that was enough. We were happy.
I guess that was one thing. That game was supposed to be on Friday, but what, the weather washed it out to Saturday? Is that what happened there?
Yeah, and we didn't really even find out until about 12:30, and the bus was supposed to leave at 2.
Oh, that's nice.
And it was the right thing to do for sure, because, you know, we were watching weather, of course, and, you know, I thought we only have to worry about that with spring sports, but we were watching it pretty carefully, and their principal and AD called us and said, you know, their field was pretty torn up, and whenever we got over there Saturday, he said that it was definitely the right thing to do, because they had some pretty big puddles out in the middle and everything, and, you know, of course we don't want anybody to get hurt, and we want it to be as fair as possible, so it was, you know, pretty dry, and it was good. It was good weather Saturday, and we actually were able to bring a lot more fans, because it was kind of a strange time, 4 o'clock on a Friday. Not many people were going to be able to go, so worked out good.
That is a random time there, 4 o'clock,
yeah, really,
Friday
really.
Afternoon.
You know, it's like, man, you know, in case you want to bring somebody, or, you know, I don't know, a parent might want to get off work and go watch their kids, but, you know, we don't get to set the times. You know, IHSA and the school set them, and So it worked out for everybody.
Okay, you play when and where they tell you to play. Load the bus up and let's go.
Yep, being married and being a soccer coach, pretty much the same. So.
No difference at all. Jason, what a great year it was for your squad. Back-to-back conference champions and a regional title. And just talk about your group of seniors. What a season to go out on.
It's crazy. You know, we had had a lot of goals set, and this was actually our third straight conference title. We'd done some figuring, and we were 21-1 in the last 3 years in conference.
Wow.
which was pretty incredible. And this senior group, you know, it's just it's going to be impossible to replace them. You know, we got Ethan, we got Aiden, we got Devin, we've got Gavin, we've got Keegan, and we've got Matt. It's just going to be so hard to replace these guys. And you know, they've just gotten to be so close because they'd played, you know, for so long together. And they all came up together, and they were varsity ready, you know, immediately. And we were just, you know, so fortunate to be able to ride, you know, with this group for so long. And they just got to be, you know, like family to us. And of course, they are family to Coach Lentz, because one of his sons is Ethan, and the other three are, you know, Gavin, Aiden, and Devin, because I don't think they're very much separable, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it was just a fantastic group. I just that was the hardest part. I talk about the Ted Lasso quote, you know, nothing matters about what happens on a patch of grass. It's, you know, the relationships you make, and that was definitely the case. So,
and you know, Jason, every group you have is special in their own way. But when you have such a large group that was with you for so long and contributed so much on the varsity level, that's a different animal entirely.
It is, and we were fortunate to have a group like that with Josh Bauman and, you know, Ian Roach, Joe Mattson, and Dalton Greenwood, you know, a couple years ago, where you literally had five or six guys that have played together and came on and you know, ran with it for 4 years, and then we had a turnover and we had a little bit of overlap, and yeah, it's amazing, you know, and it's a testament to our youth program that we, you know, we have these guys that are loving to play, and you've got, you know, coaches out at the younger level that are fostering good relationships and more importantly than anything, making it fun so they want to keep playing. And, yeah, that's definitely key. So,
you know, we were talking to Tim Johnson earlier, and he was talking about after their sectional semifinal loss, how Levi Udinski and Trident Park, they were, like, taking pictures with, like, the young kids. You know, they were into it. They appreciated the fact of the impact that they've had. And similar situations, obviously, with your group of kids, too. Maybe they don't realize it at the time, but there's kids, you know, younger than them, looking up to them, who are thinking, that's going to be me someday.
Yeah, absolutely. We, Allie Luckett is, coaching the fourth and fifth grade team. And they had, you know, signs and they were waiting for us as we pulled out, the other night for the bus. And I told the guys on the bus, I said, listen, I said, somewhere that little guy is wanting to be you, just exactly like what you said, Tim. And I said, you are his favorite player. And I said, don't disappoint him. And they were, you know, yelling out the bus to the little guys and the little guys were yelling back. And, you know, I told them, I said, in 4 years, those guys are going to be you getting on this bus. And that was big. So, you know, to hear Levi and Triton, you know, acknowledging that is important because, you know, we preach legacy all the time, you know, that, hey, listen, these little guys are going to be picking up after you and they want to do what you do. So, you know, make sure you make them proud. So that's really cool. I didn't know Tim had that happen. So that's awesome.
Jason, what will be, I guess, obviously you're losing a lot here from this year's mm-hmm. regional championship squad. Who's the next wave? Who's going to be contributing for you next year?
You mean in eighth grade or?
you got some freshmen coming that you're planning on helping you out?
I'm hoping. I'm lobbying some freshmen to come and play for us. We've got, of course, Addison Pollard and Will Christian, who have been, you know, phenomenal, and they really grew into great players this year. And they were great players to begin with, but really kind of really matured and stepped up. Of course, we got Declan Riggs. We've got Mitchell Lowe, who will be coming back, Logan Murray, Griffin Hughes, who had a rough year this year. He got hurt, and, you know, he feels like he's got a lot of unfinished business with that. Elias Gutierrez hopefully will be coming back. Nico Clark, Brody Kleinard, we got Mitchell Cunningham. Got a handful of guys, Clayton Rufus, that are ready. We got a few of the younger guys that are getting close to being ready, so we're hopeful. And you know, we're it's bad, but you look at who's going to graduate around you, and you're like, well, I think everybody hopefully will be kind of in the same boat as we are. I know Carlinville's going to be strong because they only lost Levi and Triton, but of course, you saying only lost those
right.
guys. I mean, you know,
well, we lost Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. No big deal.
Yeah, it's only that, you know, no big deal. But, no, Tim, you know, we had our all-conference meeting the other night, and it looks like it's going to be strong. I know Staunton didn't lose very many people, and I think it should be good for years to come.
Hillsboro soccer alive and well, and I guess the countdown to career victory number 300 is underway, Jason.
Yeah, only 95 more.
Hey,
so,
it's right around the corner. Yeah, nothing to it. Nothing to it. Jason,
thank you.
Go ahead.
I was looking at Chad Kuchar. He just got 300 at Rochester. I'm like, man, oh, man, that's a ton.
It's a big number.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Hey, 200 is not too shabby, though, now.
I'll take it.
You'll take it, absolutely.
I had a lot of fun with it.
Jason, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on the regional championship.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Jason Burke, the Hillsboro boys soccer coach. Again, Hillsboro and Carlinville both winning regionals last week. Both lost their sectional semifinal games at Carlinville. Hillsboro fell to SHG. Carlinville fell to Beardstown. And that will be the sectional championship today at Carlinville. That will be a 3:00 start on the turf in Carlinville, SHG and Beardstown. Road to DeKalb tonight, 8:00. We'll get the playoff pairings as they are released. And then we will talk to our playoff bound coaches. We'll have Chad Easterday on. We'll have Pat Bowman on. We will have Pat Keith on. We'll have Trevor Higgins on. Jason Clay will join us. Aaron Kuntz will join us. And also, of course, Nokomis' Paul Watson will be on the program tonight as Nokomis has completed a strong 7-2 season. And their head coach, Paul Watson, jumps on the show right now. And, Paul, how you doing this morning? An exciting day, no doubt.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing great. And, boy, it's nice to be in the position you are to where you're not worried about if you're going to get in. You're just wondering, where are we going to go?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we're, of course, you look at the things, and I think there's a good chance that we host round one here in Nokomis. So it's just, you know, who do we play?
And, you know, Paul, it seems like no matter the sport, Nokomis, you guys are always on that line of, I never know which direction they're going to send you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's kind of one of those things that And that's the fun about playoffs. You just don't know where you're going to go, who you're going to get, and that's what makes football playoffs pretty special.
And I've always said, Paul, that making the football playoffs, it's like winning a regional in the other sports, because you got to qualify. You got to be good enough to get in, and when you get in, that in and of itself is a major deal.
Oh, yeah, and it's good for the kids. You know, it's a great time, and, you know, you get in there, and our parents are great. They feed us every night after practice during playoffs. So
that's a big bill.
They eat good. Yeah, it is. They eat a lot.
Well, 7-2 this year, and I would suspect that coming into the year, obviously everybody wants to win every game they play, but you have to be extremely happy with the way that your team came out and played this year in a year where there were high expectations.
Oh, yeah, and it was kind of weird this year with not being in a conference, being independent, and playing those South Central teams, filling that spot there where Roxanna left, and so we had different people, and then you got the whole COVID thing where you don't know, you know, day to day who's going to be at practice or who's going to be quarantined and at the game, and, you know, you don't have a game, so we end up going way down south to Edwards County. So a lot of games were like playoff games this year. So, and our kids did a great job of, you know, no matter who we played, they kept the focus and did the job.
You know, I think about, you said no conference this year, but boy, did that really work out nice, because you got some really tough quality type of opponents under your belt already.
Yeah, you know, and that's going to help us there going into these next several weeks. And, you know, we've seen, you know, a heck of a team in Painted there, and which they'll be in 2A. And, you know, A&M, when we played them early on, you know, they were number one in 1A. And so, you know, those two teams are going to help us out there. And, you know, we had a fight from behind against East Dalton Wood River there early in the season and come back and beat them. So, you know, we've been battle testing.
And you can never encounter every situation that might pop up in a playoff game, one and done. But you guys have put yourself in a position where there shouldn't be too much of anything that can happen in the playoffs where everybody goes, whoa, haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you know, and that was a couple of years ago in 19 when we headed up to Oakwood. We hadn't played in, you know, that group of kids hadn't played in that playoff atmosphere. And you know, we talked about that the last week against Pena. I mean, that was a big playoff atmosphere game, and you know, we played well there, and even though the weather didn't quite cooperate in the mud and rain, and you know, and we played hard, and you know, had our opportunities to win that game, but just didn't punch them in. So, good learning experience there going into playoffs.
How's your field?
Our hog lot. we've been doing some work to it because we always, you know, we were looking to see and had a good chance that, you know, we're going to host here sometime in the playoffs. So, Coach Black and FS, you know, we've kind of got with them and we've been working on it. So, we got some rye planted. So rye grows fast is what they tell me. I don't know. It's all foreign to me, but so we got some fertilizer and some rye out there in some bare spots, and hopefully it'll be green.
Yeah, it will be. That rye will treat you well. But I'm sure, like, when you're playing Paint a couple weeks ago and the field's just getting chewed up, you probably didn't think about it at the time, but you can't help but think, this is not good for the field. Not good.
Well, that was that next morning, and I walked out there, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do here? And I was just lost. And you know, and I told them guys, I'm like, you know, I've got no idea what to do or how to make this thing, you know, playable here in a couple of weeks. So I let that up to the guys and know what they're doing.
And Paul, obviously you don't care who you play or when you play, but what will you guys do tonight as a team to find out when you play?
We always have a playoff party with the team and parents and the cheerleaders and all, you know, we get together and again, our parents are awesome and they're going to make a lot of food, a lot of snacks, and we'll head up to Coach Still's building uptown and turn it on and watch it and see who we got.
And I told Chad, this has got to be you guys' favorite day of the year because you get to talk to me twice in the same day. So, I mean, how does it get better than that, you know? Goodness.
Absolutely. It's like Christmas morning.
There you go. How could it be any different? Paul, thank you so much for your time throughout the year, and it'll be very interesting to see what type of draw you get. We'll talk to you tonight.
All right. Thank you, sir.
That's Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis.